Welcome to Barco del Tajo. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard the Barco del Tajo. The captain and his crew thank you for your visit. We hope that you enjoyed this trip in this wonderful natural landscape, sailing in the water of the Tajus River and covering the hidden and beauty of this protected natural landscape that Extremadura has to offer. You will follow hand to hand by the best professional with the latest technology and means to make this experience one that you'll recommend to your family and friends. We are in a boat. Those, to better understand what's happening in board and aiming to improve the quality of this nature class explanations that will begin shortly, will review the structure of a vessel. First, the bow is the front part of the ship. The stern is the rear part. At last, facing the bow, starboard will always be your right and port your left, regardless the sailing direction or the crew movement. Security measures. In order to sail in this protected landscape, we all must fulfill a set of rules to protect and maintain the local environment and to look after the security of the vessel and all inboard. Next, we'll give you some instructions by which we ask your attention. For your safety, either while we set sail or we are jacking the boat, we request that you remain seated to avoid that if during any of these moments the vessel hits the pier, we have unnecessary falls. After these maneuvers, you can all move freely in the boat. During the cruise, we'll use a low tone of voice since we are all ordinary visitors in this area and the true divers are the fauna that inhabit here. You are welcome to take some photos, but it's forbidden to use your camera or smartphone flash because it can scare the animal of this area. Garbage in nature presents some risks that for the survival of the species. Wherefore, we ask that please, any solid waste that we must throw away will never be done in the water or on the floor. The vessel has appropriate garbage bins to throw away the garbage. One of them can be found in the bow of the ship, the other is on the stern. At last, in the ship, you are not allowed to smoke or use any device of nicotine liberation in any occasion. Additional services. We inform that additionally to this fluvial tour on our boat, we have available other additional services that you can feel your cruise. Guided tour in the park or in its surrounding area, tours in 4x4 in the national park, visits to the interpretation centers and many other activities, such as meals in restaurants, housing management, in rural houses, hotels, apartments, etc. For further information or recruitment, don't hesitate in speaking with the crew of our ship. We are now sailing in the Barco del Tajo of Monfragüe, the last acquisition of our fleet, in which we'll make a fluvial tour with major natural abundance, pacing by the biosphere reserve that surrounds the National Park of Monfragüe, named as Natural Park in the year of 1979, and officially as National Park in March of 2007. The first in the province of Cáceres and maybe one of the best areas for ornithology thanks to one of the Europe's biggest griffon vulture colonies. Besides, count with almost 18,000 hectares of good and Mediterranean forest, in which we are located 7 municipalities, Casas de Mirabete, Jarecejo, Malpartida de Plasencia, Serradilla, Serrejón, Toril and Torrejón el Rubio, whose boundary is in the Salto del Gitano or the Jump of the Gypsy. In the year 2005, we were declared 7 new municipalities, Casas de Millán, Casa Tejada, Deleitosa, Higuera, Mirabel, Román Gordo and Saucedilla. They are crossed by the rivers Tajus and Tietar. Olm oaks, cor oaks, oak trees, rock rose, arbutus and heather, while olive trees, rocky areas and river banks with genipers and terebinth are only one part of the white, rich flora that touches this park. Don't forget that all our cruises, more than a touristic services, are a floating natural class, where we introduce the great natural and biodiversity richness of these protected natural spaces, in which we sail here in Extremadura, our home. We are sailing on the Tajus River, the largest river in the Iberian Peninsula, which runs from its source in the Serra de Albarracín, Teruel province, to its mouth in the Atlantic Ocean, in the city of Lisbon. More specifically, in São Julião da Barra, Portugal, 1,008 kilometers, of which 816 kilometers take place in Spain, crossing six provinces, Teruel, Guadalajara, Madrid, Toledo, and Cáceres. 47 kilometers form a border and 145 kilometers take place in Portugal. In addition, in its passage, it irritates four natural spaces: the Alto Tajus Natural Park in Guadalajara, the Monfragüe National Park in the province of Cáceres, the natural park of the International Tajus between the province of Cáceres and Portugal, bordering between Spain and Portugal, and finally, at its mouth, is the Tajus Estuary Natural Reserve in Lisbon. The color of its water is nothing less than the reflection of the vegetation of its slopes, Mediterranean forests composed of rock roses, heather, wild olive trees, thurbids, oaks, old oaks, cork oaks, and some eucalyptus. The main tributaries of the Tajus are, on the right, the Jarama River, Guadarrama, Alberche, Tietar, and Alagón, which is the largest tributary of the entire Spanish watershed, and the River Cesere, that is born in Serra da Estrela, Portugal, which is one of the main tributaries of the Tajus hydrographic basin in this country, since it is the second largest river exclusively Portuguese after the River Mondego. On the left, the Guadiela River, Algodor, Uso, Ibor, Almonte, and Salor, the latter three already run in the province of Cáceres. Adept building spherical mud nests, catching buildings, towers or buildings like this breed that we are seeing, especially couching stone, but also on wood, and equipped with a narrow entrance hall, here inhabits the common house martin. Besides, in its habitats, the only requirement it needs is a place with moss earth nearby, where adults can choose small clay balls which cemented with their saliva, give their nest their typical greeny profile. It is a small swallow and signs often, with bright black color right on top and white on the bottom. Its wings are long and pointed, and its tail is short and black in color, with two separate streams forming an angle like a fork. They have a short, flat and black beak, and their paws are covered with thin white feathers. Both sexes are the same. Its flight is fast and agile, although less than the common swallow, and often made in highest altitude, it lands frequently and sometimes on the ground. Regarding to their diet, it is formed mainly of insects captured during its flight, such as flies, mosquitoes, and butterflies, among others. Finally, the common house martin is a migratory species that spends winters in North Africa. In summer, flocks can be seen at great height above the summits of the mountains, attracted by insects, transported by the extensive current of hot air, far from their usual residence. Egyptian vulture nest. If we look on the port to the left part of the boat, we can see a nest of Egyptian vulture, nests that are usually in mountain cliffs but always close to some valley with nearby watercourses, allowing pasture for cattle to seek. The abundance of Egyptian vulture is conditioned by the density of livestock population in this area, which provides this species, one way or another, most of its food diet. When they discover a corpse, they are suspicious at first and fly over the place for a long time before going down and landing near the prey. They approach when other large species have already ended up with almost all the meat, arriving later to swallow the few skins and residual meat that remain attached between the bones. In North Africa, Egyptian vultures manage to break through the thick bark of ostrich eggs using a stone and repeatedly throwing it until the bark gives away, and for this reason call us intelligent vultures. They complement your diet with insects and a small animal, as well as all kinds of animal waste and feces. As a curiosity, the Egyptian vultures perform in cause an intense work of the wormin, extracting a large amount of ticks from the buttocks, anus and tail, performing this operation in a rather curious way. They approach a cow that is lying in the pasture and hold the tail with a paw, squeezing it against the ground while with the beak they tear the big ticks out of the skin. If some tick is to attach to the skin, they scrape with the other paw until they can pluck it. This behavior has always been observed in adult cattle, never with calves. As these, with their playful spirit, chase and scare the vultures, using the same technique we explained earlier. They remove and ingest the fecal remains attached to the anus of the cows, even though they usually eat the excrement scattered throughout the fields, arresting them with the beak and raising their head to swallow them. We now focus on the characteristics of the Egyptian vulture. It's a smaller sketch vulture, around approximately 170 cm, and from the tip of the nostril to the tail, 85 cm. Its average weight is 2 kilos. It is well known in the Iberian Peninsula, where it doesn't go unnoticed. Seen in adults, its appearance is unmistakable, standing out by its white color of its down in general, having in several areas a yellowish, contrasting with the black of the tips of its wings. Regarding the anatomy of this bird, on the other hand, stand out in an unappealing color of shell and somewhat disorganized features in the head and neck, which gives a very peculiar air, besides that the skin of its face is naked, with features and colored in appealing shade of yellow or orange. The paws are yellow, the tail has a peculiar weird shape with medium longitude, larger than the ordinary and black vultures, and shorter than the bone breakers. Another of the Egyptian vulture features is that has an thin, relatively white beak and with a very curved teeth, in the shape of a hook, which allows them to pluck the pieces of meat between the bones, where the beaks of other vultures cannot reach, giving them a great adaptability when choosing their food. Young specimens are much darker, passing throughout various transition plumages, over successive changes with different color patterns, until they reach the definitive plumage, when they already have 5 years old. From the third year of life, they already have a coloring that resembles the adults, but is still far from being totally white. At least, until 4 years of life, they don't have the complete plumage that characterizes them. Young specimens also present their faces with a bluish-gray color. As far as reproduction is connected, Egyptian vultures usually lay between 2 and 3 eggs during March and April. During the incubation period, the male and female both take care of them approximately 42 days, time that takes for the eggs to hatch and chick leaves the bark. After this period, they are fed for 90 days. From this age, chicks acquire the ability to live on their own, although rarely they even create more than one chick. Its habitat lies between European and Asian countries as India, in which they live most of their life. Even so, in the winter season, they migrate to Africa. After the winter, they return to Europe to create their chicks, and so they repeat the cycle. In Spain, the country where the largest number of species of Egyptian vulture is located, it is usually a summary species, even its chicks sedentary population in the island of Menorca, Mallorca, and in Aceuche settle a small population. They spend the winter in the sub-Saharan Africa and cross the Strait of Gibraltar in early March. They extend throughout the Spanish geography to reproduce, each pair occupying the same territory year after year. They leave the country at the end of September. Currently, around 5,000 specimens of Egyptian vulture can be sighted throughout Europe, and as this number decreases each year, in Asia, vultures die poisoned by eating the remains of cattle that has been medicated with diflufenac, deadly for all types of birds. If you look at the banks of the river, you can see a landscape where seas predominate, a homogeneous metamorphic rock consisted by pressed clays formed by compaction. The morphology of this landscape is a geological consequence since the upper Neoproterozoic. 500 million years of history along which seas, surface seas, formation and erosion of sedimentary river basins, formation of mountain range and tectonic lifting. This step relief that we are seeing is related to the basis of ancient rock, hence the shape of the schist, that one day was part of the marine soil and due to tectonic movement, we can see it nowadays in almost vertical positions. This relief is typically of ancient silicon materials, consisting of alternation of resistant quartzite rock layers and fragile rocks such as the schist eroded in a differential manner, where the hardest layers coincide with the crest and the weaker parts begin to form the valleys where defeats the river network. The Tagus River was already of great relevance regarding its navigation at the time of the King Felipe II of Spain and first of Portugal, because this king was the greatest interested in the navigability of the river between his main residence Toledo, Aranjuez and Lisbon, both to transport troops and goods between his two kingdoms. During his mandate, he ordered to build the Sirga Path, a termination that comes from the ropes known as sirgas, ropes which men towed the boats from the shore, against the current for which they needed a space on the shore to carry out this task. Moreover, at that time, there were still no dams, such as the Dam of Alcantara, so it was a river with abundant currents in rainy times. But the interest of this king didn't reach good port, since each village had already built its dam, water power flour mills situated in the river canal, so when the troop or workers pass by, they rebuild them, thus limiting the navigability of the river. Another reason why it didn't go ahead were economic reasons. It was approved that the project will be financed by the affected locations, making three deadlines for their payment, and it was established that the only Spanish and Portuguese products could be transported to avoid conflicts with other ports, Trujillo, Logrosán, Orellana, Cáceres, and Islam were the biggest investor at that time. Despite the high investment didn't reap fruit, it was only navigable during the year 1581, but its great maintenance costs, the complacement of Seville, the dams, etc., caused little by little to stop for being used as means of transport. In 1969, the construction of the Alcántara Dam ended. Also, is named after José María de Oriol Alcántara Second Dam. The first part of the name refers to the president of the company that built this dam. The Spanish Hydroelectric Power Plant, currently Iberdrola, owner of its facility. The second part, which completes the name, is Alcántara Second, since there is in the same municipality another supply dam, with the name of Alcantara 1. This is the dam with the largest capacity throughout the Tagus River basin. After its construction, it completely changed the orography of this territory and flooded several houses, bridges and hermitages. For example, one of them was very close to the place where we set sail, belonging to the nearest village downstream, the village of Talabán, This event for the reduction of the communication routes in this area. Currently, the total navigability of the Tagus River is impossible due to the numerous dams built during this course. We highlight the fauna that lives in the Monfragüe National Park, and in this case, the Monfragüe Biosphere Reserve. As for the mammals that inhabit in this environment, we find species such as the genets, weasels, foxes, boars, deer, mufflons, other mammals of aquatic habitat representative of the variant fauna appearing in the less contaminated tributaries of the river, such as the Alberche and the Tietar. Iberian lynxes, feline regarded as the most frigid on the planet, mongoose, wildcats, rabbits, gillerate, and bats. In the pasture of Monfragüe grays, repainted cows, and we also find autochthonous breeds such as the Iberian pig. Fish, amphibians, and reptiles form a chain that maintains the balance of this magnificent ecosystem. In Extremadura, there are 31 species of fish belonging to 13 families, 20 of which are native and 11 introduced. The Cáceres section of the Tagus and Guadiana are the richest in abundance of the species. In the Tagus live 22 species, 13 native and 9 introduced. We highlight 4 autonomous fish in the Tagus River: Iberian gnats, minnows, squalus, alburnets, and the silver barb. The Iberian gnats is one of the most abundant fish, even though its population is a serious risk due to the various species of predators introduced onto the river. Its body is long with a total length between 30 and 40 centimeters, and the females are the ones that dress a larger size. They have a varied coloration with brown, olive, yellow or dark back, silver flanks and the ventral surface with a golden glow on some occasions. In some populations, there are specimens with dark spots on the head, scales and in some fins. Their eggs are deposited on the vegetation and can number between 4,000 and 9,000 eggs. Minnow is a small fish that hardly exceeds 18 centimeters in length and 100 grams of weight due to its longevity, which is in the most 4 years of life. Its shape is long, with a scale of a small size, which make them very soft to touch. They are dark in color with black spots divided throughout the body, thus acquiring a brown tone, and for that reason his Spanish name is Pardilla. They are not good swimmers and like to move slowly close to their shores through the vegetation. The Squalus alburnoides is also a small fish which normally doesn't not exceed 13 cm in the length. Their head is small, with a slender body and small fins. It's an unmistakable fish, presenting a violet stripe that run through the entire side of the body, and its color varies, going from blue to greenish with a silver womb. It's an understanding fish when it comes to the condition of its habitat. We can find it both in mountain streams and in water with currents. In reproduction, it's a very peculiar. Most individuals in the population are female and triploid, which means that they have 3 chromosomes instead of 2. Thanks to this particularity, female eggs can be fertilized by males of other species, like the silver orb. It is believed that this form of reproduction is an advantage in environments with extreme drought, resembling other species with the same breeding method that inhabits in similar environments such as the North African deserts. What's more, it's one of the fish in our fauna that withstand higher temperatures and lower oxygen levels in the water. The silver barb is characterized by having a long and somewhat compact body with short fins. They can measure more than 80 cm, but the normal thing is that it doesn't pass the 40 cm. Its color varies, depending on its biotope and its subspecies. The back is brown-green, greenish, ochre-yellow, grayish or cream, with lighter flanks, and the warm surface is whitish or yellowish. Concerning their habitat, it prefers the average section of the river in water with a certain speed in their coloring, especially on the breeding season. We can also find in the watersheds of the river Tajo foreign species of fish, such as the pike, pike perch, the black bass, and a big predator such as the sheat fish, species that can reach more than 3 meters and weigh more than 100 kilos. The common carp, originally from Asia, was introduced into Europe during the time of the Roman Empire 2000 years ago. They were brought into the warehouses of Roman vessels to feed their crew members, and probably some of these fish accidentally leaked into any or rivers. When some boats sank, it's an abundant species in Extremadura, and one of the most resistant freshwater fish that best adapts to the place where it lives, and for this reason conquered virtually every corner of the planet. Within, its characteristics stand out its weight and length, which can reach 15-20 kilos, and its measure is around 70-90 centimeters. It's estimated that some specimens, when enjoy certain conditions during their lifetime, can reach the 120 meters, weighing up to 40 kilos and exceeding the 60 years of age. Females lay up to 300,000 eggs that, depending on the water temperature, can hatch in 3-4 days. With the construction of the walls of the Alcantara Dam in 1969, some species such as the eel could no longer use the water of the Tajos River in its life cycle. In the existing lagoons of the area that serve as supply for the livestock detained, is much appreciated both in sport fishing and for food. As a curiosity, in Extremadura, there are 8 villages of the Tajo Salor Consortium that celebrate at the end of the summer a festival around this exquisite delicacy, the tench, provided by the rivers, streams, and lagoons of the area. The origin of this gastronomic feast dates back to the year 1989, when all localities decided to meet each year in one of these villages and promote this delicacy. In the first edition, celebrated in Navas del Madroño, the activities were based on the fishing competitions, tasting of recipes based on tents and popular verbena. Over this almost year, the activities increased in a number of monthly participation, as thousands of visitors attend in the last weekend of August to the village elected by the Tajo Salor Consortium for this event. Besides, this festival is an excellent opportunity to get to know the villages of the country: Aliseda, Arroyo de la Luz, Brozas, Casar de Cáceres, Garrovillas, Malpartida de Cáceres, Navas del Madroño and Villar del Rey. If you now look at starboard on the port of the vessel, we'll see in the slopes cooked toads, a yellow tube buried on the air surface. These are the gas papillons, conduct pipes where combustible gases are transported from one point to another. The transport capacity of these pipelines depends on the pressure difference between their edges and their diameter. As it increases, it also increases the transport capacity. Monfragüe is a great bird paradise, one of the best places in the world to devote yourself to bird watching, especially for the observation of vultures. We can find all kinds of birds of prey like the kingfisher, herons, cormorant, blackbirds, common jay, and the common white throat. Within the family of eagles stand out
the Royal Eagle, the Bonelli Eagle, Bullet Eagle or the Short-throat Eagle. It can also be sighted Black Storm, Peregrine Falcons, Black Smile, Black Kites, European Hawk, and many kind of nocturnal birds of prey such as Tawny Owls, Owls and Eagle Owls. The most wanted species are the Black Vulture, Egyptian Vulture or the Royal Eagle. Undoubtedly, that the most emblematic bird of the Monfragüe National Park, with more than 300 registered couples and with estimate that point to the 400 couple, is the Black Vulture. They can be seen in a small group or even in solitary, flying over the area in search of animal carcass of all kinds. It is also at the top of the podium regarding their size, as it has a wingspan of 2.5 to 3 meters and can reach 12 kilos, being the largest flying bird in Europe. Its color is brown and very dark, appearing black at a certain distance. Its head is covering with a small grayish-brown plumage, and its wings are long, wide and straight-pointed. We differentiate it from the Griffon Vulture, keeping them flat or slightly pointed down when they take off or when they're flying. They usually nest built in treetops or in rocks. Every year, they return to the same nest to reproduce, laying only one egg incubated by two, male and female, for 55 days. Around 500 couples of Griffon Vulture reproduce in Monfragüe, sharing space and habitats with the Black Vulture. It's a huge bird of prey with more than 2.5 meters wide of wingspan, and its weight ranging from 6 to 9 kilos. We are going to differentiate it from the Black Vulture. In addition to its lighter color and usually with brown tones, it can be distinguished by the plucked head and neck, covered only by a thin down that prevents the blood of the corpus from entering the feathers, preventing it from flying. Since they totally introduce their heads into the corps, this mission is essential in the countryside, as they carry out an effective and important health work by feeding on animal carrion, eliminating all kind of infection that could contaminate other species if ingested. Clumsy on land in a masser when killed in traveling up to 200 km in a day. Nest in the rocky outcrop of the park, forming large colonies even if it pulls only one egg a year. If there's a second most emblematic in Monfragüe, it's undoubtedly the Black Stork. In Extremadura live the 75% of all breeding pairs in Spain, about 300. Of this percentage, 30 couples live in the National Park. You can only see them during spring and summer, as at the end of the seasonal period, they emigrate to Africa to spend the winter. The Black Stork is smaller than the White Stork, being also more evasive and less common. Given its characteristics, the adult has all the superior parts, head and neck black, with fleshy shades usually greenish, on the neck and the head. The bottom is white. It features reddish-orange paws and a red beak, a shade also around their eyes. They nest away from areas inhabited by men, at high altitude in the treetop or in the rocks. We can see ponds where they feed on fish, crabs, frogs, snakes and water rats, and all kinds of invertebrates. Finally, egg laying is made from April to June, laying 3 to 5 root eggs. The incubation, carried out by both male and female, lasts from 38 to 42 days. The chicks, fed by the parents, leave the nest between 65 and 70 days after the reproduction. Birds abandon their breeding areas and concentrated on numerous groups in some favorable areas that use as dormitories.